This is Audible.
Podium Publishing presents Succubus, Book 1. Written by A.J. Markham. Performed by Iggy Toma. One. As I sat there in the headquarters of Westech Inc., I prayed to the video game gods for a break. I'd made it to the final round of interviews for a quality control position, and I desperately needed this. I'd been laid off from my previous job 3 months ago, my bank account was getting perilously low, and I was a month late on rent. Please, I begged. Just this once. Please let things go my way. Three mid-level managers were sitting across the table from me, looking at my resume. A guy in glasses, a brotastic dude from sales, and a woman from HR. I, of course, was putting on the best dog and pony show I possibly could. I've been playing Otherworld for years, even before you guys went to virtual reality. It's my favorite MMORPG ever. Sales guy loved what I was saying. Ian, yo, have you tried the full immersion unit yet, my man? Crap. I prayed my borderline poverty wasn't going to sink my chances. I want to, but I could only afford the basic system. I'm saving up, though. The basic is good, but you gotta try the full immersion. It is sick, dog. Get this. You have a beer in the game, you get buzzed. You have five beers, you get drunk. I shit you not. I wanted to ask him, what's the point of being in the most visually gorgeous video game ever created, one where you feel like you're really there, battling dragons, casting spells, raiding dungeons, if all you want to do is get wasted? Nothing against getting wasted. I was doing it a lot lately to cope with my current life situation, or lack thereof. But I could do that with an $8 six-pack in real life. Why the hell would I do it in a video game? Still, I might need bromance support, so I smiled weakly and nodded. That sounds awesome. Then I turned to the others. As I was saying, I'm super conscientious. I'm always on time to work, and I'm always available for overtime. Especially since my girlfriend of 3 years had broken up with me. A sharp pang pierced my heart. It had been 5 months ago, but it still hurt like it had happened. Maybe not yesterday, but definitely last week.
Mr. Hertzfelder, the woman said to me, I see you participated once in a medical research program.
You mean that one time I was a professional guinea pig for Big Pharma?
You mean that thing I almost left off my resume but kept it in because I didn't want my work history to look so thin?
Oh, yeah. I needed some extra money one summer in college, so I was in this experimental drug program. I laughed nervously. Prescription drugs, not drug drugs. Bad drugs, I mean. I don't do drugs. Just say no.
Stop babbling, you fool. What exactly did they do in this program?
Well, we had to stay in a hospital for 3 weeks to isolate us, and they gave us this prescription drug to make sure it didn't make us sick, and then they biopsied us at the end to make sure it didn't give us cancer, or anything.
Did they take blood regularly?
Yeah, twice a day.
Where did they biopsy you? From what part of your body?
Jeez, why was this lady so interested in my drug trial job? Did she have some kind of medical fetish or something? The backs of my arms.
So you're not adverse to medical experimentation as part of a job?
I guess not. Glasses guy spoke up. The reason we're asking, Mr. Hertzfelder, is because we're working on a prototype for a long-term immersion system. The kind where you could conceivably stay in the game for weeks at a time, maybe even months, and not suffer any ill effects. That's the QC position we're hiring for, and your background in medical research really stands out from the other applicants. I didn't quite know what to say. I hadn't enjoyed being a guinea pig, but hey, I was desperate at the time. I was desperate now, too. And frankly, a long-term immersion unit sounded kind of awesome. Are you going to have to biopsy me again? I asked hesitantly. All three of them laughed at once. No, no biopsies. Just some standard IVs to keep you fed and hydrated, that's all.
Oh, I said, relieved. That didn't sound so bad.
It's safe, right?
Perfectly safe, Glasses said.
Absolutely safe, the woman agreed.
Totally safe, Bro Dude exclaimed. But the best thing is, we're paying $50 an hour plus overtime. So, say they want to hook you up to the system and have you pull a 24-hour shift. After 8 hours, that's time and a half, dude. So we're talking $75 an hour. After 12 hours, it's double time. So you're making a Benjamin an hour for getting drunk in a game, dog. It don't get any better than that.
I have to admit, the sales guy was good at his job. He was selling me on exactly what I wanted to hear.
Great, I said, and added jokingly, so when do I start?
How about now? The woman replied.
I stared at her in shock.
Seriously?
We need someone as of yesterday.
That's good, because I needed a job as of 3 months ago. Even if I did have to get biopsied.
2. After signing about 2 million non-disclosure agreements, liability waivers, and tax forms, I accompanied the glasses guy up to the 5th floor. Sales bro and HR lady congratulated me and went back to their own departments.
Rip it up, dog!
Was the last thing Broman told me before he disappeared. As I got in the elevator, I asked, so what is it exactly that I'll be doing?
We'll be putting you into the unit for progressively longer periods of time, John said.
That was Glasses Guy's name, John Perkins, my new supervisor in the Experimental Quality Control Division.
Right, but am I looking for programming bugs? Quests that can't be completed, items that can't be looted, graphics that suddenly disappear?
Actually, the system is pretty stable and mature. We're testing a few new forms of AI that will help NPCs learn and interact better with players, so we'll want your reports on how those interactions go. But the main thing is we just want you to play the game like a regular consumer. It's just that your body will be in a form of suspended animation, that's all.
Maybe bro sales guy wasn't that far off when he said I would be making a Benjamin an hour for getting drunk in a virtual world.
Cool, I said, as we got out of the elevator, and walked down a nondescript hallway.
I could even use some of my regular characters, if you like. I have a level 87 dwarven warrior.
You'll be playing a warlock, John interrupted.
Oh, I've never played a warlock before.
Even better. You'll be starting off at level 1 and progressing like a normal consumer through the beginning stages of the game.
For the uninitiated, warlocks were characters that used spells to bind demons and force them to attack enemies. That was all I knew about them, except that you always saw them running through the game with some ugly-ass monster following them around like a pet dog.
You sure you don't want me to play something I'm more familiar with?
It has to be a warlock. We decided to implement the AI in the least played classes first to work out the bugs before we started putting them into the more heavily played classes like warriors and mages. So the warlock class is what you'll be testing. Some bugs need to be worked out with the demons you'll be summoning. Not only that, but there have been some issues shifting back and forth between worlds.
That made my ears perk up.
Worlds? Some of the new quests involve you going into different dimensions that you can access as a warlock.
Okay, that sounded kind of cool.
Okay, I guess I'm a warlock then.
John scanned his hand on a sensor embedded within the wall, then opened the door next to it.
Great, here's the unit.
Whoa. It was like a science fiction movie in hospital room had a baby, and then the baby threw up a bunch of wires all over itself. There was a hospital bed with a big mechanical donut-looking thing circling the top of the bed, sort of like an MRI machine. Dozens of cables and wires snaked everywhere across the floor, connected to a bank of computers and EKG machines lining the side of the room. There was also an IV stand with a saline drip next to the bed. A woman in a white uniform stood over in the corner writing some things down on a clipboard.
Hey, Vivian, this is Ian Hertzfelder. John introduced me. He's our new QC tech. Ian, this is Vivian, our on-site nurse. She'll be monitoring your health while you're in the game.
Nice to meet you.
Vivian smiled as she shook my hand. So, shall we? John said, and gestured to the bed. Just like that? I asked nervously. Just like that. Okay, I murmured. Then stepped gingerly through the cables on the floor and pulled myself up onto the gurney. Vivian came over next to me, swabbed my arm with alcohol, and proceeded to stick an IV in me for the saline drip. I winced and tried to concentrate on what John was telling me. So, what's going to happen is we're going to skip the normal onboarding sequence. We've already set up your character, a human warlock, level 1. The system will take your appearance and use that in the game. Otherwise, just follow the prompts like you're playing the game normally. Vivian started sticking electrodes to my chest and forehead, then clipping wires to the patches. Cool. Do I get to choose my name? I asked. It'll be Ian. Really? I asked, disappointed. I mean, that's a little bland, isn't it? It helps to keep the report simple, John said. Ian is a lot easier than Vargosterok. That way we don't have to try to remember who's who. We know Ian did this, Janet did that, Sandeep did something else. All the QCers use their first names. Oh, okay. Just remember, the game won't throw anything at you that you can't handle. At least nothing you can't handle with a little ingenuity. When in doubt, remember that there are no coincidences inside the game. You ready? Not really, no. Sure, I said, and forced myself to fake a grin as I gave him a thumbs up. All right, John said, and typed on a keyboard hooked up to the bank of computers. The mechanical disc around my head began to whir and hum. Initiation sequence in 3, 2, 3, 1. I opened my eyes to find myself standing in a beautiful meadow on the edge of a forest of oak trees. The grass all around me was tall and green, and delicate yellow flowers swayed gently in the breeze. Sunlight warmed my face, and I could hear the chirping of birds off in the woods. Other world never ceased to amaze me. The game actually beamed sensations directly into your brain, so that you saw, heard, smelled, felt, and tasted the video game world exactly as though it were the real world. There were some things you could vary. For instance, you could turn your pain settings down to 0. But otherwise, it felt as though you were really there, in a world where magic and monsters actually existed. I might have skipped the character selection phase, but I did my own version of onboarding to familiarize myself with my new character. I opened my stats window. Health, 154. Mana, 200. Intellect, 200. Stamina, 11. Armor, 8. Health was the amount of damage I could take and would regenerate slowly over time. Mana was basically magical power or my ability to cast spells. It was the base stat for warlocks and mages, basically anything magic-related. Which kind of sucked for me, because I was used to playing classes where the main stats were strength and focus. So this would be a learning experience to see how mana worked. It would be depleted with the more spells I cast, but just like health, would regenerate over time. Intellect was one of the basic core stats, and increased the amount of mana I had to cast spells. Stamina was basically how much punishment I could take during a fight. And armor was how much protection my current outfit provided against attack. I checked out the clothes listed in the stats window, and my heart sunk in despair. I was used to being a warrior, meaning I had a shit ton of armor and was really resistant to damage from enemies. Compared to that, what I was wearing now was little better than a diaper. Shirt, plus 1. Vest, plus 2. Pants, plus 2. Belt, plus 1. Boots, plus 2. All of it cloth. From my previous experience in the game, I was pretty damn sure that I could never wear a better class of armor than cloth. No plate armor, no chainmail, not even leather. So, 8 points of armor overall.
A stray pine cone falling off a tree would kill me. Well, no, not really. But that's sort of what it felt like. And no weapon. As a warrior, you at least started out with a crappy sword. Here, I felt naked. What was I supposed to defend myself with? I looked at the action bar in the lower half of my vision, basically a strip of icons across my lower frame of vision. There was only one icon so far, something called Dark Bolt. I hovered my finger over the ghostly image, and a small window appeared. Dark Bolt, 2.5 seconds cast time. Stationary. 15 hit points dark magic. 25 mana to cast. Range, 50 feet. Translated into English, that meant my only weapon was a magical attack that took me 2.5 seconds to use, and I had to be standing still to do it. I could inflict 15 hit points on an enemy. But again, I could do it only once every 2.5 seconds. I was used to my level 87 warrior inflicting 2,000 damage with one swipe of my sword. Plus, the spell cost me 25 mana, which meant that I could get in roughly 8 shots before I was depleted of magic. Possibly 9 shots, since I would be regenerating mana as I went. Great. I was really loving being a level 1 warlock so far. That was sarcasm. The good news was I only needed 400 experience points to get to the next level, at which point I would get a new ability and upgraded stats like higher intelligence. I really wanted to try my magical attack out, but there was nothing around to pit myself against. So I decided to wait until a wolf or something came along before I took Darkbolt for a test drive. The good news, other than I was getting paid to be a magical 98-pound weakling, was that at the lower levels, the game never threw anything at you that could one-shot kill you. As long as you didn't go bumbling into a pack of wolves or death cultists and instead just engaged each enemy one at a time, there was a low probability that I would encounter anything with more than 120 hit points, 15 damage per Dark Bolt times 8 attacks. At least nothing that could inflict more than 154 damage on me within the same time period. In other words, I would hopefully only be encountering 78-pound weaklings for a while. I had a leather bag hanging off my belt. I checked it out. Yep, standard 10-slot bag with nothing in it. Not even one copper. I looked around me. Other than the field and trees, the only other thing of note was a rickety old house in the shadows of the forest. My supervisor John was right. There were never any coincidences in Otherworld. Whatever the game put in front of you, you could assume was meant to further along your progress. And that rickety old house was the only thing within eyeshot. Might as well get this party started. I walked across the meadow towards the house, startling a few digital field mice along the way. The house was more of a weathered shack, really, made of logs that had been faded to gray by the sun and time, and the skills of the game's digital artists. There was smoke coming out of a dilapidated stone chimney, so I figured someone was living inside. As soon as I walked up the steps to the creaky porch, though, I heard the unmistakable whoosh of something coming out of invisibility mode. It was the game's friendly warning of prepare to get boned. Two creatures appeared on either side of me. One, a somewhat humanoid shape made of twisting shadows. The other, a wolf-like shape made of living flame. The shadow thing hissed, and the fire wolf snapped and crackled menacingly. I selected them quickly to see what I was up against. 15,000 hit points each. Might as well be 10 million given my meager powers. But they weren't attacking. They were merely warning me so far. I was about to very slowly back away when an old woman's voice croaked out from inside the shack.
Who is it? And what do you want?
My name is Ian. I want to be a warlock.
Ah, a warlock, eh? Come inside then.
Like the man said, there were no coincidences in the game. The two demons let me pass, although they menacingly followed my every move. I opened the door, which was almost falling off its rusted hinges, and entered a dark, creepy room. An old female dwarf with white hair and dressed all in rags was sitting by a fire in a rocking chair. I could see the ID tag above her name. Vesparia, level 50, Dwarven Warlock. Technically, a warlock is just a male witch, but warlock was the game's designation for a particular class of fighter, so that's what she was listed as instead of witch. She stared at me with eyes filmed over with glaucoma.
Come closer, boy.
I gulped and edged closer to the fire. I knew I was in no real danger, but when the game seemed this real, it was hard to convince your brain that you were perfectly safe. She grinned up at me with a mouthful of rotting teeth.
So, you wish to be a warlock, eh? I warn you, you are trespassing in a realm you know nothing of. Toying with powers you do not understand.
Typical otherworld non-player character banter. But this NPC was seriously creepy.
A warlock's powers come from dark magic, boy. If you decide to follow this road, you will be summoning demons to serve you, and only you. There are temporary bindings where the demon only appears for several minutes as long as your spell persists. Then there are permanent bindings where the demon is bound to you and will never leave your side until you dismiss it. Permanent bindings come from dark magic embodied in the physical form of collars, which are powerful indeed. The collars can only be forged from the deaths of your enemies. The more souls you reap, the more powerful demons you can bind. You need to harvest 40 souls by your own hand to fashion the first collar.
Okay, this was a little darker than I'd expected.
However,
the old dwarf female leered,
if you truly wish to be a warlock, your first collar will be a gift from me. Do you wish to proceed?
A computer window appeared in front of me. Sell your soul for rock and roll. The game's customary bad puns and goofy quest titles could sort of undercut the ambiance they were going for. Vesparia the Witch has offered you initiation as a warlock, and a gift of your first demonic restraint collar. Do you wish to accept and start down the path of darkness? For $50 an hour plus overtime? Hell yeah, sign me up. I mentally hit the accept button and the window disappeared. The witch grinned.
Good.
She reached into the mound of rags covering her frumpy body and pulled out two items. One was a thin book bound in dried-out, scuffed-up leather. I could smell the vanilla-y scent of its weathered pages. The other object was a collar that looked like it was for a tiny dog, black leather with metal studs.
Open the book, she said ominously, and embrace your destiny.
I opened the book to the middle, wondering what horrors I would find within, but there was nothing inside except blank pages. Confused, I thumbed backwards until I reached the first page, the only one with any writing on it. There's only one page.
Of course, you fool, she barked. You have to earn the right to see more pages. Read the first page, and call forth your first servant.
I placed the collar on the floor and started to read the incantation. I didn't know the language, but the game took care of details like that. You didn't have to learn complicated spellcasting either. You just thought about an action and the game took over. In this case, words in a guttural language I didn't recognize tripped off my tongue as easily as though I had grown up speaking it from birth. Suddenly the room began to grow even darker, and the fire began to fade away as though receding in the distance. The witch completely disappeared, swallowed by the shadows. Lines of purple energy sparked across the wooden floorboards in front of me, and symbols began to appear as though drawn by some unseen hand. My voice sounded hollow and far away to my own ears, and I heard a dark and ominous rushing sound like a waterfall crashing down on me. The symbols glowed brighter and burst into dark fire. I don't know how to explain it, except that there were tongues of flame, but they were black instead of yellow. There was a bright burst of purple light. The roaring rose to a crescendo. And then suddenly I was back in the room with the witch in the fireplace. Only now, there was something standing in front of me. After all those pyrotechnics, I felt distinctly underwhelmed. It was an imp, basically the starter pack demon. It stood about 2 feet tall and was very thin, almost emaciated, with willowy arms and legs that ended in slender fingers and toes. Its skin was the gray color of things that lived under rocks. It had long, limp ears, and a smushed-in face without a nose, just 2 slits above its beak-like mouth. Its eyes had no irises or pupils, but glowed a weak yellow. It stood there, hunched over, completely naked, with nothing between its legs to indicate whether it was a boy or a girl. It looked like Yoda's anorexic gray cousin, or maybe Dobby the house elf from Harry Potter if he was buck naked and gray. And lo and behold, it was wearing the little black dog collar around its scrawny neck.
"Hey, boss,"
the thing said. It sounded like Kermit the Frog with a 5-pack-per-day smoking habit for the last 20 years. I stared at it in dismay, then turned to the witch.
"This is it?"
She scowled.
"Of course this is it. You summoned it, didn't you?"
I just thought it might be a little more impressive. The imp jerked back its head and frowned like I'd insulted it. "No offense," I said to it quickly, though it seemed faintly ridiculous to be apologizing to an NPC, especially one that was now my demonic servant. The witch, though, was seething with rage.
"You entitled little ingrate. This is your very first summoning. What, did you think you would get a dark walker on your first attempt? A fell beast? Fool, this is your servant. Go into the world and learn to be a warlock, and then maybe you will be able to summon something more impressive."
More NPC babble. It was pointless to argue. I dropped the spellbook in my bag where it disappeared into the darkness and showed up as a selectable item in my bag inventory window. "Well, thanks," I said to the witch.
"Get out of here," she spat, "and never darken my door again."
I sighed and turned to my new servant. "All right, let's go do warlock stuff." Then I turned and left the house, and the imp followed along behind me. 4. As we walked through the fields on the way to our next adventure, whatever that might be, I figured I might as well pass the time by getting to know my new demon. "What's your name?" I asked.
"Stig,"
the thing croaked in its raspy, high-pitched voice. "Nice to meet you. My name is Ian."
"Yes, boss,"
the creature answered. He didn't seem very bright. "So, Stig, what can you do?"
"I can use fireballs, boss."
"That sounded impressive. Better than my dark bolt." "Okay. Let's see what you've got."
"What do you want me to attack, boss?"
I looked around the meadow. I didn't really want to kill anything defenseless, but I reasoned that it was a video game. I would be killing digital people soon enough. What was some wildlife compared to that? Over by the nearest tree, a skunk was minding its own business. I figured the world could probably use a few less skunks. "Kill that skunk over there," I ordered.
"You got it, boss."
Stig brought his hands together, and a small ball of fire appeared in his palms. When I say small, I mean tiny, about the size of a marble. Then he shot it across the meadow with a farting sound. The fireball hit the skunk, but rather than killing it, the fireball only enraged it. The skunk suddenly glowed with a faint red outline, the game's universal signal that it had turned from a neutral observer into an enemy. Then it screeched and charged directly at Stig.
"Uh-oh, boss!"
"Keep attacking it," I yelled. Stig fired another flatulent fireball and hit the skunk again. The first attack had shaved off a quarter of its hit points, and the second attack took off the same, which was absolutely pathetic. The skunk had only started out at 16 hit points, which meant Stig's fireballs were only packing a punch of 4 damage each. The skunk was 20 feet away from us when Stig decided to bolt.
"See you, boss,"
he yelped, and ran in the opposite direction. However crappy he was at throwing fireballs, Stig was a pretty fast runner, I'd give him that. More of a retreater than an attacker, I guess you could say. "Hey, what are you doing? Come back here."
"Okay, boss,"
he yelled, and started running in a circle around me. I scowled. I said come back.
"I am. I'm just taking the scenic route,"
he explained as he passed behind a tree and circled back around. "Come directly back." "Screw this, never mind," I yelled, then turned to face the skunk. "I'll take care of it myself." Unfortunately, in the time I had spent messing with Stig, the skunk had decided to switch its target. To me. I looked back just in time to see its tail lifted high, and its furry little ass pointed right at me.
Psst!
A cloud of horrific-smelling mist enveloped me from head to foot.
"Damn it!"
I began choking and gagging on the smell, which was somewhere between horrific BO and the stench of a porta-potty at a music festival in August. I mentally selected Darkbolt on my action bar, and immediately my hands cupped together wrist to wrist. That was apparently the motion to cast the spell. A black ball of energy formed in the air between my outstretched fingers, and 2 seconds later it launched at the skunk. The little bastard got a bolt of black energy right up his ass. For a brief second, he was illuminated with ultraviolet light from the inside out. You could see his bones, sort of like when the Emperor zapped Luke with Force lightning in Return of the Jedi. Then the skunk keeled over, dead. I waited for some loot to appear, but nothing happened.
What?
I selected the skunk to see if I had missed something, but there was nothing on it that could be resold to a merchant. For good reason, I guess. Nobody wanted a foul-smelling cloak made of black fur with white stripes. As pissed off as I was, I had to admit it was my own fault. I didn't have a quest to kill skunks. It wasn't something dangerous like a wolf or a giant spider, so why would I get any loot? I'd basically been turned into a walking fart cloud for absolutely no freaking reason, other than to test out my incompetent imp. This whole warlock thing was starting wonderfully. I decided, screw this. I'd basically only been in the game for 5 minutes. I could just start over. I brought up the main menu and looked for the logout option. I would just return to the game interface and select a new character. But logout was written in gray letters. Not selectable. Okay, no problem. I would just exit the game completely, talk to John, and have him restart me. Except the exit game option was grayed out too. Okay, that's odd. I tried to tell myself not to panic. This was the QC process. You figured out bugs and reported them to your supervisor. No problem. I would just send a chat message to the support team. I brought up my chat message box. Grayed out. I checked my mail window. Apparently, I had the ability to receive mail, but my compose letter option was completely grayed out too. What the hell? Now I was starting to get worried. As far as I knew, I didn't have any way to exit the game. And I didn't have any way to contact the people who could help me exit the game. What do I do? I panicked for a second, then told myself that they had to be monitoring me. They had to know this was happening. I should just forget about this for right now and go ahead and play the game. Surely they'll fix it in an hour or two. Besides, $50 an hour to play a video game ain't bad. Even if I do smell like a walking combination asshole slash armpit. Would that be an ass pit? Stig finally reached me. I realized that he'd basically been running in a spiral, not completely disregarding my command, but doing whatever he could to circumvent it and keep himself out of the way of the skunk. What the hell was that? I yelled.
I think you got sprayed, boss,
he said quite seriously. I know I got sprayed. Why didn't you stay and fight?
You didn't tell me to, boss.
That enraged me. What do you mean I didn't tell you to? I said come back.
Yes, that's exactly what you said, come back. And I did, boss.
I frowned. But I meant...
But you only said to come back, boss. And I did.
Now he was confusing me. I mentally retraced my steps through my commands, including what I'd said when he didn't kill the skunk on the first try. I also said to keep attacking it.
And I would have, but you killed it first, boss.
I realized something. I hadn't said stay and fight at any single point in the last 2 minutes. I also hadn't said keep continuously attacking it. That literal-minded little bastard. He was like a lawyer contesting every single line of a contract. Anything with any leeway in it, he was going to interpret whichever way benefited him. I glared at the imp, and I could have sworn he was reading my mind. He grinned at me like, sucker. Just now figured it out, huh? The little asshole was smarter than I'd given him credit for. After all, I was the one who smelled like a porta-john, not him. From now on, I said angrily, when I am under attack, or I am about to be under attack, you stay with me and you fight whatever it is that is attacking me, or is about to attack me. Do you understand?
Yes, boss.
The little jerk would probably find a way to screw me over with the directions I'd just given him, but I would gradually refine the rules until he had no more loopholes. I sighed. All right. Let's see if we can do something about getting this horrible smell off me.
You got it, boss.
And while I was at it, see if there was some way I could contact my new employers. 5. I pulled up my map window to get my bearings and headed for what looked like the nearest inhabited area. We were apparently near a backwater village named Fernberg in a land called Ostmere. After about 20 minutes of walking, Stig and I came to a small farm where a man was out in the field working his crops. I walked up to the fence and waved at him. Hello. I was wondering if...
By Celestia's crown, what is that?
The man cried out as he pointed at Stig. I had no idea who Chelastia was or what her crown had to do with anything, but I could tell the farmer was distressed. I looked down at my pet demon, who had his hands on the bottom rung of the split-railed wooden fence and was peering over it like a toddler might. He looked up at me with eyes wide with surprise. I turned back to the farmer and answered as politely as possible. It's an imp.
Run away from it!
The farmer howled at me in terror.
Hurry!
I frowned. It's my imp.
So you're a warlock?
He yelled accusingly. Yeah, so? The farmer bent down, rooted in the dirt, and pulled out an object that he sent hurling through the air. It thumped against my shoulder and fell on the ground. A potato. Mother Humper was throwing potatoes at me. He kept at it, too, yanking them out of the ground and tossing them through the air, one every couple of seconds.
Get away from here, you foul wizard!
What the hell, man? I snapped as I dodged the next spud.
Get away! By the grace of Chelastia, I rebuke you in the goddess's name!
Asshole! I thought about hitting him with some dark energy, but I wasn't exactly sure that was the best move at this point. After all, attacking the skunk hadn't exactly worked out in my favor.
You want me to fireball him, boss?
Stig asked. I was pretty damn sure the guy had more hit points than the skunk, plus he had a hoe in his hands. In other words, a weapon. No, I don't want to annoy him and have him attack us. Let's just go. So I walked away, just as another potato hit my back. I was sorely tempted to turn around and fry the bastard, but I refrained and kept on walking.
Why didn't we kill him, boss?
Stig asked as he loped along beside me. Well, first of all, because you suck.
That's not my fault, boss. The more powerful you get, the more powerful I get.
Are you saying this is my fault?
No, boss,
the imp said, although he nodded his head yes as he said it. I stopped and frowned. Wait, what was that?
What was what?
You just said no, but you nodded your head yes.
Did I?
He asked innocently, although I was pretty sure he was faking it. Yes, you did.
Sorry, boss.
Fine, I said, and resumed walking. Just so we're clear, this is not my fault.
No, boss,
he said, and nodded again. Stop that, I yelled.
Stop what?
This was idiotic. The imp was obviously yanking my chain, and I was falling right into his passive-aggressive trap. Never mind, I muttered. The important thing to find out was why the farmer had attacked us, and if it was something I could expect from everyone I encountered in this area. I opened up my reputation window to find out if I had some sort of problem with the local populace. No, I was neutral in Ostmere. In fact, I'd a +10 buff to reputation just for being human. Stig, do you know anything about this area? I asked.
Not really, boss.
What about that goddess the farmer mentioned? Chelastia, who's that?
Oh, she's a real bitch, boss.
It was kind of funny hearing a Muppet curse, but still. I need a little more info than that, I said.
She's the goddess of purity and light.
Wait, so does she get along with warlocks and demons?
No, we freaking hate that bitch.
I could have slapped my forehead, it was so obvious. So, people who worship her are probably not going to like me, is that right?
I'd say that's about right, boss.
Great, I muttered. In the game for half an hour, and I already smelled like ass and had made a whole bunch of enemies without trying. Can you disappear, Stig?
I can't become invisible, boss.
No, can you go back to where you came from if... Never mind, hold on. It was easier just to find out for myself than rely on a potentially unreliable source of information. I looked at my action bar. Besides Darkbolt, there was now an icon of Stig's face. Summon Imp. 2.5 seconds cast time. Stationary. 50 mana to cast. Summon your imp. Can also dismiss imp for 0 mana. That last sentence was what I wanted to see. I activated the icon with a thought. Immediately my right hand twirled in a circle, and my left hand cut left in a straight line. Apparently that was the way to get rid of my imp or call him back. Stig disappeared in a puff of fire and smoke. The last thing I heard was his disembodied voice croaking,
"See you soon, boss!"
Ah, I sighed, happy to be alone as I walked on down the road. 6. In a few minutes, I came upon the town. It was basically a small village with an inn, several shops, a blacksmith forge, and a couple of other nondescript buildings. There were all sorts of people walking around, but they tended to be humans, dwarves, and elves. No goblins, orcs, trolls, or any of the other races who didn't get along with humans. I noticed as I was walking through the streets that everybody who came close to me made a face, looked at me like I was a fresh dog turd, and moved about 45 feet away. Great. I needed to earn some money fast, get a room at an inn, and get a bath. Suddenly the crowd parted. People started running away, or at least backing up really quickly. I immediately thought, geez, do I smell that bad? Then I realized they were backing away towards me from something else. Not only that, but the men in the street were staring with slack jaws. The women in the street scowled angrily. Some of them hit their husbands in the arm as though to make them stop looking. The villagers ignored me completely. Well, until they smelled me, that is. Then they all quickly moved 10 feet away. I wondered what was going on, and then I saw for myself. There was a guy walking through the center of the town square. He was tall and good-looking, with long hair and a neatly trimmed beard. He wore all black, a badass duster jacket that came down to his calves, a black vest, black shirt, black boots, black pants. The shirt was open to expose a hairy, muscular chest. He had an awesome staff strapped to his back, apparently made out of an orc spine, with the upper half of a skull at the top. 2 huge rubies were fixed in the eye sockets and glowed faintly. He basically looked like a rock and roll god. but he wasn't what everyone was staring at. Behind him strolled a woman, and not just any woman, but one of the hottest women I had ever seen in my entire life, in real-life movies or the internet. She had a gorgeous face, high cheekbones, slender nose, and sensual lips. Her teeth were white as pearls and perfectly straight. Her hair was a deep auburn color, thick and wild, and hung down to the middle of her back, nearly hiding her graceful neck. But as beautiful as her face was, her body was even more incredible. She had D-cup breasts on a tiny little frame, nearly bursting out of the black leather corset binding her entire midsection. Her arms were thin and toned, her waist was incredibly tiny, and her hips were va-va-voom, with a luscious ass I didn't expect on such a thin woman. In addition to the corset, she wore a black leather thong, which let you see every inch of her long legs. Her dainty feet ended in black stiletto high heels, and somehow she walked confidently on them, even on cobblestone and grass. She basically looked like a Playboy Playmate of the Year, and was wearing next to nothing, which explained why all the men were drooling as they stared at her. Oh, I forgot a few minor details. Her skin was a deep rose color. She had two small horns pointing up from her forehead, black raven's wings sprouting from her back, and a long, slender tail that ended in a triangle. She was a demoness, which meant that the guy was probably a warlock. Suddenly, I was a whole lot more enthusiastic about my role in the game. I selected him and checked him out. Level 23, Robert. Robert? Unless he liked playing unimaginatively named characters, I figured I had just run into another QC-er. "Excuse me," I called out as I stepped forward. "Are you in QC for Westek?"
"Why, yes, I am," he said,
sounding sort of like Matthew McConaughey. I half expected him to bust out with an,
"All right, all right, all right."
"So am I," I exclaimed. He looked me up and down.
"You a new hire?"
"Yeah."
"First day?"
"First hour, actually."
"Well, welcome to the..."
Suddenly he grimaced and put a hand up to his nose.
"Sweet baby, Jesus, what is that stench?"
I winced. I got sprayed by a skunk."
"Dude, you need to get that taken care of right away. That shit is vile."
"I know," I said dejectedly. "I was going to start over, but I tried to log out, and I can't."
"What do you mean you can't?"
"I mean I can't. The option is grayed out on the menu."
"Well, just take the headset off then."
"I can't. They've got me in some sort of new long-term immersion thing. I don't know how to get out."
"Get them on chat.
That's grayed out too."
"Mail?"
"I can receive it, but not send it."
"Well, shit. You try clicking your heels and saying there's no place like home?"
He laughed at his little witticism.
"Little Wizard of Oz joke there."
I wanted to yell at him, "This is serious." But I didn't think now was the time to be making enemies. "Could you do me a favor and let the administrators know about me? Maybe check up and see what happened? My supervisor is a guy named John Perkins."
"Sure thing, amigo."
Would you mind doing it soon? I'm a little freaked out that I can't log off."
"Tell you what, I'll send off a text to my boss man right now."
I breathed out in relief.
"Thanks."
His hands moved like he was typing on an invisible keyboard. Behind him, his demoness looked at her crimson nails like she was bored out of her mind. Either that or contemplating a manicure sometime soon.
"What's your name?" Robert asked.
"Ian. Ian Hertzfelder."
"Spell that."
I did, then he typed out a message and read it back to me.
"Just encountered a new QC-er inside the game named Ian Hertzfelder. He is unable to log out or contact his supervisor, John Perkins, via chat or any other method. Says he is in a new experimental long-term module. Please manually pull him out of the game, or otherwise contact him. How's that sound?
Awesome, I said gratefully. Thank you so much.
No problem, cowboy. Have a good one.
He started to walk on by. Do you mind if I ask you a couple other questions? He looked annoyed for the briefest of seconds, then said,
Shoot.
You're a warlock, right?
That I am.
I am too. He looked around as though searching for something.
Where's your imp?
Oh, we were having a little trouble with a farmer back there, so I...
What did he do?
Stig? Nothing, really.
Not the imp. The farmer.
Oh, he, threw some potatoes at me. As soon as I said it out loud, I realized I sounded lame as hell, especially to Mr. Rock and Roll Warlock here. Robert just confirmed my impression.
Potatoes?
He said in disbelief, like he couldn't believe what he was hearing.
I hope you fried his ass.
No.
Why not?
Robert asked, almost belligerent. It seemed like it was a little bit of an overreaction to a couple of potatoes, I said, then quickly changed the subject. Do they hate warlocks around here?
Yeah, this whole region worships some goddess of purity or something. They basically hate our guts. What did you do with your imp?
I just sent him away until I could figure stuff out.
No,
Robert said disapprovingly.
You can't be like that, hombre. You gotta lay down the law. Let them know who you are.
But Stig's not very powerful, and neither am I. Matthew McConaughey shook his head dolefully and proceeded to give me a lecture.
You got it all wrong, man. It's not about the hit points, it's about the attitude. You gotta walk around here like you own the damn place. You get me?
He gestured at the crowd.
These people? They're just NPC hicks with a bunch of potatoes. You are a freaking rock star. You are a scary mofo. You are a binder of demons, a destroyer of worlds. You are the emperor, and these are your peons. It's the mindset, dude.
He tapped both of his temples with his fingers.
It's all up here, man. Psychological. You gotta act like you got the biggest swinging dick around, understand?
He said, suggestively rotating his hips. Okay, I said, trying not to look at his gyrating crotch.
These villagers, take a good, hard look at them,
he commanded. I looked around at all the farmers gaping at us.
See how they look at me? That's the kind of respect you need to command, essay.
I raised an eyebrow and glanced back at the devil-horned Miss March. Actually, I think they're looking at your... What is she exactly? Robert grinned in a very self-satisfied way.
That, my man, is a succubus.
I stared at her in lustful wonder.
Do they all look like that? Well, I'm partial to my Kilara here. Ain't that right, baby?
The succubus looked over at him and blew a kiss from her hand, then giggled. It was the sexiest sound I had ever heard in my entire life. Robert continued.
But let's just say, on a scale of 1 to 10, I've never seen a succubus that was less than an 11.
Wow, I murmured. He slapped one arm around my shoulders and pulled me in next to him, like a guy showing his kid brother his first muscle car.
I mean, have you ever seen anything like that before in your life? Anywhere?
No, I said honestly.
And she's just standing there looking hot. Kilara, honey, he said, addressing the succubus. Walk 10 feet that way, then come on back.
The demoness turned around and strutted away. I swear to God she had the most perfect bubble butt in the history of the world, and it swayed tantalizingly back and forth as her tail curled in the air behind her.
Look at that, brother. Look at that.
Robert cried out, kissing his fingertips like an Italian stereotype in a bad gangster movie.
Leonardo da Vinci never created a piece of work as fine as that ass.
He called out loud,
Can I get some fries with that shake? Honey, I hate to see you go, but I love to watch you leave.
The succubus looked back over her shoulder and smiled and giggled. It was the most seductively feminine sound you could imagine. Then she turned away and started back towards us, thrusting her chest out provocatively in the air. Every NPC male in the game basically had his tongue hanging out of his mouth. I didn't blame them. My tongue was practically hanging out too. Robert wasn't immune either.
Now, see me? I'm an ass man. But those tits are working overtime to turn me into a boob connoisseur. What are you, hombre? Ass man? Breast man? Leg man?
All of the above, I murmured as I watched her walk towards us.
Ha ha! I heard that,
Robert laughed.
Let me tell you something. The company didn't tell you when you got this job, but in this new expansion pack we're testing, there are some very nice perks to having a demon lady friend, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. She's awesome to look at, I agreed.
She ain't just awesome to look at, if you get what I'm saying,
he said, and elbowed me in the ribs with a big smile on his face. Well, I mean, her voice sounds really beautiful, too.
Oh, just wait till you hear some of the sounds she can make, if you get my drift.
He grinned. This was turning into a bad Monty Python skit. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more, know what I mean? No, actually I don't. He sighed like I was the densest idiot he'd ever met.
Dude, sex. You can have sex with them.
I stared at him, completely floored.
What? You've got to be kidding me.
I kid you not.
He got a look of rapture on his face and turned back to the succubus.
Incredible, dude. The sensations are amazing. And she will do anything, man.
I swallowed hard.
Anything? Anything.
He mouthed anal without saying it out loud.
Couldn't get my last 5 girlfriends to do that, that's for damn sure,
he said wistfully. But that's not in the regular game, is it?
What? The anal?
No, just regular sex.
Oh. No, I think they're making it into a new expansion pack.
He grinned and ribbed me again.
If you know what I mean.
The sex, I said hesitantly, making sure I knew what he meant.
Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Adults only.
They didn't tell me anything about that in the interview. He shrugged.
Maybe it slipped their mind.
I remembered the stack of NDAs and liability forms I'd signed. They'd covered everything else. How could they have forgotten this? I don't see how it could have possibly slipped their mind. Suddenly, I felt an even greater panic than when I'd found I couldn't log out of the game. Maybe they gave me a portion to QC where I can't have sex.
Well, you'll find out for sure in just a few levels, when you can get your very own.
He slapped me on the back.
Enjoy, amigo. Now, you'll have to excuse me, but me and Kilara gotta be getting on down the road.
You have a quest?
Yes, but the main reason is you reek, my friend. Seriously, take care of that shit pronto, or your succubus lady ain't gonna want to go anywhere near you. They may be demons straight from hell, but you smell worse than Satan's crack. Capiche?
I nodded. Got it.
All right, hermano. Take care. And remember, it's all in the tood.
He pointed to his temple and nodded at me like, got it? Thanks for the tips, I said.
You got it, amigo. Peace out.
I stood there watching as he swaggered through the town square, the succubus sashaying like a runway model behind him. I felt hypnotized as I watched her perfect ass sway back and forth with every step as her tail moved sinuously through the air. All the villagers backed away from Robert, but still couldn't keep their eyes off him. And her. The guy kind of acted like a douchebag, yes. But on the other hand, when you walked around with a chick like that following you, I could understand why he had a big head. And that can be me. Not the douchebag part. Just the having a mega-hot chick part. It had been a long, long time since my girlfriend had left. And while she had been cute, she hadn't come anywhere close to what I'd just seen. Time to get Stig back and level the hell up. 7.
I don't know, boss.
Stig was sitting on a tree stump in the forest, looking doubtful. What do you mean you don't know? The imp shook his head.
Hot girls, boss. They're nothing but trouble.
But she'll be under my control. The imp raised one eyebrow, or would have, if he had any hair on his brow at all. Like, I don't know about that. Are you saying that she won't follow my orders? I asked.
Do you know what a succubus is?
Yeah, it's a female demon. They have sex with men while they're asleep, I said, repeating the only thing I knew about them from mythology and the real world. To be honest, I didn't know much about them inside the game.
I don't know about doing that with men in their sleep,
Stig said distastefully.
But they're really good at messing with your head.
What you mean?
They make men fall in love with them, and then they make the men do whatever they want.
Didn't sound that far off from regular women in the real world. But I'm the master, I said, jerking my thumb at my chest. I'll be the one in control. The imp gave me another raised eyebrow like, sure you will, buddy. I will, I exclaimed in irritation. Besides, it doesn't matter. We're going to get a succubus no matter what, so your job is to help me out. Understand?
Yes, boss,
he sighed, sounding distinctly unhappy about the prospect. All right. The first thing I need to do is find some quests. So let's go talk to a farmer.
You want me to disappear again, boss?
I remembered Robert the QC warlock and his words of advice.
You got it all wrong, man. It's not about the hit points, it's about the attitude. You gotta walk around here like you own the damn place.
No, you're not going to hide anymore, I said confidently. We're going to be the ones in charge of the situation from now on. Time to let them know what's what. Stig gave me another doubtful look, but said,
Okay, boss.
We walked out of the woods and headed towards the nearest farm. There was a whole family out in the field, a farmer with his wife and three small children under the age of 9 digging potatoes out of the ground. The youngest couldn't have been any older than 4. The farmer had a golden exclamation point above his head, the sure sign of an NPC with a quest to offer. Act like you own the game, I reminded myself as I walked up. Stig walked hesitantly in back of me, peeking out from behind my legs. Farmer, I yelled. I'm an adventurer, and I know you have a quest for me. What are you? Suddenly all three children screamed at once. Imp! Imp! They howled and started throwing potatoes. Hey, cut that out, I yelled.
He stinks! He stinks!
They chanted as they continued to throw spuds at me.
Go away, you rancid warlock, and take your demon with you back to the abyss.